Summer Sundays are meant for freshly cut grass, ballpark dogs, and the best baseball talk you can find. So kick back with your bacon and eggs and pour yourself a mimosa while Phillies announcer Greg Murphy and Green Legion Radio's Chris Sack break down your fighting Phils and take you around the league right now on Baseball Brunch. Play ball!
Good evening, Philadelphia, and welcome to Bud Light Baseball Brunch / Happy Hour, powered by Green Legion Radio, here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler in Philadelphia, 104.1 in the Trenton area, and WDAS AM around the rest of the Delaware Valley. Or, as I've been saying all season long, download that iHeartRadio app and you can listen to us anywhere crystal clear worldwide. I'm Chris Sack from Green Legion Radio, and I'm broadcasting from my house in Maple Shade, New Jersey, and my co-host, who has been nothing but the man with me all season long, in the co-host role and in the co-captain's chair, Phillies broadcaster, and life is only getting better each and every day for Greg Murphy. What's up, Murph? How we doing, buddy?
I'm good, Zach. First week of the off season, which is always kind of a nice thing. I wish it was happening in the first week of November rather than the first week of October. But whenever you finish up the season, that first week off where you wake up and you're like, I don't have anything to do today, is not a bad thing. So I'm kind of enjoying that. But we'll get back at it soon enough, right? So it goes quick for sure.
Yep. And hey, listen, I know you've got plenty to keep yourself busy with this off season. Are we going to get more glove stories during the off season, or is that just strictly during the 6 months of baseball season? I know you just had Brad Lidge on this week's episode. So why don't you promote yourself and let me know what you got coming up?
Yeah, I will. Thank you. Glove stories with Murph. So we did finish up the regular season, closed it out with the closer. We thought that was perfect since he was perfect. In 2008, we closed the season with Brad Lidge. He was fantastic. I think that's getting posted tomorrow, so it'll be up for subscribers tomorrow. But we are doing a couple specials throughout the course of the off season. We'll do a hot stove special at some point. But up next, we're really cool. The Dalton Foundation, the Darren Dalton Foundation, which brings out so many of his former teammates, is having a weekend event next weekend. It starts Sunday night and Monday. Sunday night, celebrity bartending at Live Casino and everything going on there. So all the guys will be back. And then Monday, we're all playing in a celebrity golf tournament and fans and it's a big day, I believe, at Huntington Valley Country Club. And we are going to do a special edition of Glove Stories with Murph, and we are going to have just different players coming in and telling stories about Dutch. And we're going to put that together into an hour special. So all of these guys that knew and loved Dutch coming in and telling stories, I really think that's going to be a lot of fun. So we'll promote that via Twitter once it hits. But some fun stuff over the offseason. Not every week, but we'll have a couple.
Is that this upcoming Sunday night at Philly Live Casino?
It is this upcoming. Is it the Sunday? Yes, it is. It is this Sunday. Right. And then this Monday is the golf tournament, October 11th, right?
I know Pat, who's watching right now, my buddy Pat. I know he was looking to go to that, and maybe we still will. If you're going to be there?
I will be there on Sunday night along with the podcast crew and then again Monday. So, yeah, come on, say hi.
All right, sounds great. We could have a beer. We haven't been able to really do that this whole season, so maybe we could do that on Sunday night.
I'm bartending for part of the night, so I will serve you the beer, and then I will come around and sit down next to you and drink the beer with you. How's that?
Sounds like a plan. Pat, looks like we might have something to do on Sunday night, and hopefully the rest of you listening will want to come out and hang out with us as well. But we'll save that for another time towards the end of the show. Right now, this first segment is brought to you by our friends at MCS Residential and MCS Custom Cabinetry. For all your residential contracting needs, this is who you want to talk to. Everything from additions, renovations, kitchens, baths, closet organization, cabinetry, vanities, basements, everything you need. Mention the Green Legion and get 10% off of your order, regardless of how much. Reach out to them at www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. That is mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. I saw Greg Meisinger, the president and owner of MCS Construction. I saw him during our pregame show this past Sunday before the Chiefs game. And he said, hey, in a couple weeks, they're going to start on my house. So I'm going to get the work done over the wintertime. And hey, Murph, come next March when we're back on the air here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler and I'm doing that live read, I'm going to tell you just how great of a job they did the work at my house. And I'm looking forward to sharing that experience with everyone.
And then he might be working at my house. We'll see. I don't know. I got some stuff that needs to get done too. So,
well, here we are. We're recording on Wednesday night. Everybody knows for the last month, ever since football season started, we've been recording on Wednesday nights. And being that it is Wednesday, October 6th, it is the day of one of the great moments and games in Philly's history, Roy Halladay's postseason no-hitter, October 6th, 2010. What a fantastic experience, a wonderful evening at the ballpark. You know, something that, you know, it's funny because you hear so many people talk about how they were there that night, and I feel like more than 44,000 people have told me they were there. I'm sure that you've heard that more than your fair share as well.
Well, here, I'll tell you this, Zach. I was not there, but I remember exactly where I was. I was covering the team at the time, but for whatever reason, I was not there that night. I was coaching my son in a Little League game, and the game started, I guess, around like 5, our game started, and it was...
We started at 5, too. 5:07, first pitch.
Okay, that makes sense. So I was coaching third base, and I remember getting a text message saying, Halladay is perfect through 6.5 or 7 or something. And our game was finishing up, and I said to my son, who was out of 12 at the time, I said, hey, we're not going home. We are going right to this restaurant right here, and we're going to sit down, and we're watching the rest of the Phillies game because something special is happening. And we sat there, he and I, and watched that game in the bar and eating wings and jumping up and down, and everyone in the bar was going. So I wasn't there, but it was such a cool experience. I'll never forget it. So it was an awesome night.
Yes, it was special. And also, back in 1993, Ken Batiste in game one of the National League Championship Series against the Braves has an error in the ninth, almost cost him the game. And then he hits a walk-off to win the game for the Phillies, scoring John Kruk. So, you know, on this day, October 6th, a couple really special moments in Phillies history. And listen, we don't have tickets to give away because, you know, looking forward to next year, we have no Phillies postseason baseball and we're looking forward to next season already. But, you know, we'll have plenty of tickets to give away next season. What I want to do tonight is I want to give back to our fans, our listeners here for Bud Light Baseball Brunch as a thank you for this season. I want to acknowledge all of those that have supported Murph and myself throughout this season. And I think the best way to do that, the most fun way to do that, is to give back to you guys as far as, hey, why don't you guys pitch in and put on our message board, what was the greatest game you've ever attended? I don't care if it's baseball. I don't care if it's football, the Union, you know, which we play here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. I don't care what it is. I want to know what the greatest game that you were personally at, not at the restaurant, eating wings and jumping up and down, that you were physically there at the ballpark. I want to know for everybody. And we're going to, you know, get to those at the top of our second segment. So, Murph, I know I've previously asked you this, during an Ask Murph segment, but for those new listeners since July, since the last time we did this after the All-Star game, what was the greatest sporting event you ever attended?
You know, it's funny because I've been to a lot, and I've been so lucky in my career to cover the biggest events. I mean, I've been at the Super Bowl with the Eagles. I've been, you know, to the World Series with the Phillies but as a fan, I answered this question before on the show. As a fan, where I just went and I was with my dad and I was with my brother-in-law. We were in Dublin, Ireland to watch Notre Dame take on Navy, which was just an incredibly cool experience the whole week. You know, we were golfing, playing in Ireland and then went to the game. And I actually was able to get us down on the field with some sideline passes. So my dad, who's a big Notre Dame guy, and my brother-in-law were got a chance to be on the field, which is, you know, something I'm lucky enough to do a lot, but they never got to experience before. So that was just a really cool moment for me. Great game. And I grew up a Notre Dame fan because I'm a Murphy and that's what you do.
Me too.
But now my son is at Navy. So if that were switched now, I'd be rooting for Navy, not Notre Dame at that point. But so that's the best one as a fan. But I will tell you this, one of the cool events that I've been to when I was working, when I was a much younger guy, I was in L.A. the night that Tyronn Lue and Allen Iverson made history. I was in I was covering that game for my old station, CNA.
The step over.
Yeah, I was there for the step over game. And, you know, you remember they came back to Philadelphia, and you thought to yourself, they got a chance here. And then, of course, the Lakers rolled them over the course of the next couple of games. But that first night out there at the Staples Center was just an incredibly electric night. And I was there for that game. And, you know, we still talk about that moment 20 years later, or however long it's been, 15 years later. So, that was a cool. So that's one of the cooler ones that I've been to as an employee when I was working.
The only game that the Lakers lost that whole postseason. Yeah, exactly. The only one. Right. Yeah. AI strapped them on his back and carried him to victory. But that's awesome. That's really cool. Yeah. You know, for me, listen, Roy Halladay's postseason no-hitter was the greatest game I ever attended. The thing is, though, is we're piggybacking off of that. That's the reason why we're doing this segment right now. So for me, it's kind of like a coin toss between two others. So I'll go hockey with one, and I'll go baseball with the other. Cole Hamels' no-hitter at Wrigley Field in his last start as a Philly was the most unexpected thing ever. It was like the Cubs were really good that year. The Phillies were really bad that year. We knew Cole Hamels was going to be traded. So a lot of context, we didn't know if he was going to even start going into that weekend, because he might have been traded, or they might have pulled him from the starting rotation and not started him because in fear of injury. And here he is, throwing a no-hitter against Jake Arrieta, who's on the other mound, who's going to wind up winning the Cy Young that year. Ryan Howard hitting a three-run shot off of Jake Arrieta. It was just, what an unbelievable moment. We were with the Green Legion that weekend.
I remember. It's the first day we met.
Yeah. Yes, sir. It was my wife's first game at Wrigley Field. So that was a special time and special moment. And then hockey, listen, there's nothing better than playoff hockey. Period. And the story doesn't even matter. That when that place is rocking, it's nuts.
Yeah.
Claude Giroux scoring the overtime winner against the Chicago Blackhawks in game three, the Stanley Cup finals back in 2010. Well, I swear that place was going to blow up. The roof was going to blow off the building. I remember Patrick Kane scoring to make it 3-2. And there's like 10 or 11 minutes left in the game. And I'm sitting there going, the Flyers are down one. And I'm like, man, I was like, I just spent $375 on this ticket, and I'm going to waste my money. And then 20 seconds later, Billy Lino scores the tie of the game. And I'm like, all right, yeah, money well spent, money well worth it. And then you get in overtime. You're like, you got to win this game.
Yeah.
But it was awesome, man. It was so much fun. What a blast. Sam, you want to chime in real quick? And then we're going to talk a little bit about Phillies baseball this offseason.
I mean, obviously, I'm going to say an Eagles game. But
duh, shocker.
February 6, 2005, actually. I know they didn't win, but I was there with my dad and my brother, and Paul McCartney did the halftime show. I was there. Greatest sporting event I've ever been to.
The Paul McCartney halftime show was epic. It really was. That place, you know, the Eagle fans took over Jacksonville that week. That was, you know, we were doing live shows from right outside the stadium all week long from down there. And every single night we had, you know, hundreds and hundreds of Eagles fans that would just come to the set and watch the show and then, you know, melt into the town, and we would melt into the town with them. And it was a celebration of Eagles football for a week. That was a lot of fun. And it was. They didn't win. But there was a moment there early on where you thought they were going to run away.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I know.
They've
won one since. It's okay.
Let's not do it. But hey, let's go ahead. Let's dive into it, Murph. Thanks, Sam. We'll see you at the top of the second segment. Let's dive into it, Murph. Obviously, the season didn't end the way that we wanted it to end. Unfortunately, I was in Atlanta when the Braves clinched the division on Thursday. I set that trip up for Atlanta and Miami, hoping for good things about a month prior. And you know, listen, being a sports fan, not everything goes your way all the time. You know, you can spend buco bucks, and I just said it, $375 on my Stanley Cup final ticket, and you're sitting there, oh, man, they're going to lose. Well, listen, you don't ever want to see them lose. It's just nothing's a guarantee. That's part of being a sports fan. You could see Roy Halladay throw the second no-hitter in postseason history. Or you can go and you can see your team get smoked. And that's just how life is, and you have to deal with it. Unfortunately for the Phillies, the season came to end on Thursday night. Dave Dombrowski sat down with the Phillies media on Wednesday afternoon, and he went over some details here, Murph, and I know you got to listen to it. I'm only picking up like tidbits, since I was at work. But he stated that he's looking for a big bat in the middle of the order. Those don't come cheap. He's looking for a leadoff man, a shortstop, which that shortstop could be that big bat in the middle of the lineup, and a closer. But for me, saying that you're looking for a shortstop, that leads me to believe that Didi Gregorius might either be traded or there might be another move on the mend here as far as Didi's concerned.
Well, here's what he said. Here's what he said. He said they had a conversation with Didi after the season, and they told him, look, you need to win that position next year. It's not a guarantee you're our starting shortstop going into next season. You know, obviously he had a down year, and everybody saw that. Dombrowski left the door open saying, you know, if Didi can bounce back and be the player that he was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, then he's the starting shortstop. However, they realize they can't go into the season with a shortstop that played defense the way Didi did this year and, you know, was an offensive liability, which he was. So I think it was really refreshing, A, for him to admit already 2 games, you know, 2 days after the season's over, to already admit that they have thought about and talked to the player that, look, this is no guarantee. Even though we're going to be paying you 15 mil or whatever it is, that's not your job. And you need to show us that you're the guy for that job. And if not, we're going to go look elsewhere. And I agree with you. He came right out of the press conference early on, first question. And he said, yeah, we need a big bat in the middle of that lineup to protect Bryce. And that's obviously, we all know that, but for him to put it out there, that when you put stuff out there like that as the president of a team or general manager of a team, it's out there, good or bad. So now people are going to put that on the wall. And a month from now, 2 months from now, 6 months from now, they're going to say, well, you said this. Did you make it happen? It's almost making, you know, it's challenging yourself to make sure that it does happen. So there are a lot of quality shortstops out there. Now they're all going to cost a boatload of money. And he was also asked whether or not they could afford another big guy or big paycheck. And he said, can we afford it? Yeah. Should we? I don't know. You know, which I think is a good answer as well. He said, should I pay this guy $20 million a year or should I pay these 4 guys $5 million a year? Where am I going to get the most bang for my buck? And the Phils have a lot of holes to fill. So I would not be surprised if they look to move Didi, try to move that salary, even if they have to eat a lot of it, and bring in someone to play that position and be that big bat in the middle. I mean, certainly I think it's something they're thinking about, but they have a lot of work to do. It's not just one move. And Dombrowski said that today. So they're going to have to be creative. They're going to have to spend wisely. They're going to have to look for diamonds in the rough to fill some of those spots. And I should mention also that Bryson Stott's name came up several times today in the press conference. I don't think that's thinking he's going to be ready on April 1, but I do think that they believe he's going to be ready soon enough. So that might be the answer at shortstop or third. Perhaps he could play second. I mean, they like him as a shortstop, but whether or not he's the answer at shortstop next season, you know, he didn't go as far to say that. So, but that was the biggest bombshell of the press conference was the Didi conversation. I thought it was the most interesting thing.
Yeah. I mean, listen, with Bryson Stott, you can't go into next season banking on him being your everyday starting shortstop. If we're going to be taken seriously next season as a contender in the National League East, we just can't rely on that. No. You know, and
but it's not to say he won't be part of it going
correct,
forward.
Correct. Correct. And I think at some point next season, you're going to see him. Sure. And that could be injuries. That could be inconsistency. I mean, you know, if something happens with Gene Segura, if something happens with Alec Bohm at third base, because they want him to play third base. So that's the game plan for him next season. Or, yeah, listen, what are they going to do as far as first base is concerned? You can't go into next season with your corner infielders being Rhys Hoskins and Alec Bohm again. You just can't. Defensively, that would be irresponsible to do so. If, you know, the DH is in the National League next year, Rhys can fit in comfortably into that designated hitter role, and then you can try and find somebody to play the first base side of things. But, man, that shortstop market, if you're looking to get a big bat in the middle of the lineup to protect Bryce Harper and you're looking for a new shortstop, man, there's a bevy.
Right? Isn't there five?
There's Carlos Correa. There's Marcus Semien. With the Blue Jays, yeah. And then Carlos Correa. I said Correa. Yeah, the story with Colorado. I know Lindor was plucked off last year. There's another one that's out there too.
There is another one that's out there. You know, and there isn't going to be a market for four or five shortstops in the $200 to $300 million range. There's just not. So you might be able to get
Corey Seager.
Yep. You know, someone like that, where you might get them not cheap. You're not going to get them cheap. They're all good players, but you might be able to get them where you don't have to overpay, which is something the Phillies have done with their free agents over the last couple of years, because they had to overpay some of those guys. Well, now maybe you can, you know, you overpaid McCutchen, you overpaid Didi, you overpaid, you know, a couple of guys. You might not have to do that with a shortstop. Maybe just have to pay a market value. That would be great.
There you go. All right. Thanks, Adam Gilmore, too, for chiming in about Corey Seager and reminding us about him as well. And Adam, you're like a good neighbor, and, you know, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. That's why life is full of surprises, some good, some not so good. That's why your State Farm agent is there with good neighbor service and surprisingly great rates for everyone. Yep, that's right. At State Farm, you get great service and great rates with every policy, so you can be prepared for all life surprises. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. When you want the real deal, call Dave Bavuso, State Farm Agency, 856-740-5012. Individual premiums will vary by customer, all applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements. Coming up in the second segment, we're going to dive a little bit further into what the Phillies are going to do this offseason, but we're also going to have a little bit of fun at our expense. We're going to look back on our preseason predictions that Murph and I made on our first inaugural episode here for Bud Light Baseball Brunch, right here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We'll be right back right after these messages. The next sip, a small plastic drink pouch to freeze your hands while you keep your beverage in the ready position. NECK Next Sip. Time to free up those hands and wear your drink, everyone. It holds any beverage, even bottles, cans, and snacks. Text with both hands and drink at the same time. Visit nextsip.com and follow them at NextSip. Customize it any way. Perfect for sports events. Philly born and USA made, only $5 each. 15% off when you use the code GREENLEGION. Again, visit nextsip.com and follow them at NextSip. All right, Murph, here we are back. Our second to last segment here for the 2021 Major League Baseball season on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler with Bud Light Baseball Brunch / Happy Hour on Friday evenings from 7 to 8. What are you playing over there?
And that's our theme music. I actually thought that was going to be the applause. I've got all the sound effects, but I don't know how to use them all.
So. Do we have a theme song now? They're applauding you, Murph. It's funny because, like, when we were talking about doing this show, like, Quimby was like, oh man, he's like, you know, you should be prepared. People are going to want to line up and get your autograph and take pictures with you. I'm like, no one wants to take a picture with me. Like,
or me.
Well, no, like, everybody loves Murph, and I'm not saying that they don't love me too. It's just like, you post a picture on Facebook and you go, I took a picture with Chris Sack from Green Legion Radio. Like, that doesn't resonate. Like, you know, there's Murph and there's Sack. All right, Murph. So obviously we don't have tickets to give away, for this segment. We've been giving them away all season long.
Yeah.
So for me, I wanted to know what everybody's favorite, or the greatest event that they ever attended, sporting event that they ever attended. So I have some here. And, you know, we'll go ahead. We have your friend, Murph's fan club. She said she was fit. Yep. She was physically at Citizens Bank Park for game 5 of the 2008 World Series. Mike Butts, still collecting, you know, 4XL, Minute with Murph t-shirts.
Yep.
He said Mitch Williams striking out Bill Pakoda and the Phils win the pennant in 1993. He sat in the 600 level on right field at the Vet, screaming his head off. Never heard it that loud. Like it was all game long. Got some cool ones here on the board. My buddy Pat House, good friend of mine, brother of mine, friend of the program. He said, no brainer, my friend, standing behind section 135 with you and the crew 11 years ago tonight. The CC game comes in second, which is Shane Victorino's grand slam off CC Sabathia. Yeah. Adam Gilmore was at Derek Jeter's final home game. Said it was absolutely incredible.
He homered right in that game, right, didn't he?
He had the walk-off. He had the walk-off hit at the end. On my Facebook, Phil Battistelli, 2008 Phillies World Series. He screamed, he cried. It was a dream come true. Rich Baker, seeing Sandy Koufax pitch a no-hitter against the Phillies, 1964 at Connie Mack Stadium.
Very cool.
Said that Koufax faced the minimum number of batters. Keenan Harmon, not exactly a sporting event, but for me, it has to be the Eagles Super Bowl parade.
Okay.
Michael Shut Up Diaz, Victorino's grand slam.
All right. Yep.
Jeff Perlman was at both Halliday's no hitter and the Victorino grand slam. So he, He pulled double duty like I did. Charlie Henderson, Sean Henderson's father, given, you know, birth to the spawn of Satan. No, I'm kidding. Love you, Sean. 1998 Super Bowl. Elway won his first, beating Favre. That's pretty cool.
I remember that. Yep.
Jerry Yashinsky, he said that he didn't attend it, but the Braves finally won in the World Series championship in 1995 with one of the greatest pitching rotations ever.
Ooh. And
Captain Will Demps.
Had a boo button.
Captain Will Demps, Eagles Lions Snow Bowl, barely edges, Super Bowl 52 for him.
Okay. So, all right. Good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys for chiming in and giving us those. If any more come up, I'll make sure we try and get them out before we go off air here. But let's dive back in real quick, Murph, before we look at our predictions that were sure to go wrong before the season, as far as the Major League Baseball season is concerned. Let's talk a little bit more about what Dave Dombrowski said that this team needs. Now, from what I'm reading into, also, I think we also see that it's the end of an era as far as the Odubel Herrera experiment is concerned. If we're saying that we need a center fielder and we need a leadoff hitter, like I said, with the middle of the order and the shortstop, with how many shortstops are out there right now that could fill that middle of the bat order behind Bryce Harper? I mean, you want to go two for one and you want to kill two birds with one stone. I think having a competent center fielder that can lead off for you, I mean, that right there is something that Dave Dombrowski is sure to be shopping for.
Yeah, so I don't remember him saying center field was a position of need. He may have said that. It was a long press conference. I don't remember him saying that. He absolutely said they needed someone to fill that leadoff spot. And he went on to say that Odubel's not a leadoff hitter, and he shouldn't be up at the top of an order. So you know, read into that as you will. I think probably Odubel's time in a Phillies uniform is done, but I don't necessarily think it's a foregone conclusion because they do have a lot of. I mean, if you just look at Odubel's production, it was pretty good. I mean, if you're gonna list the top 10 guys on the team, he'd be in the top 10. And
fourth outfielder though at this point in his career. Well, fourth outfielder. If he comes back, he's got to be fourth.
Okay. He won't come back as a fourth outfielder because at that point I think he'd be too expensive. So maybe he's a guy that they can move because he showed he could play in this league. I mean, he's always going to make the boneheaded mistakes, but I think, you know, we can say that about a lot of guys, quite honestly. Right. Odubel is a major league ball player. I'm not sure you could say that about everybody else that we've seen come through, the Phil's organization in the past, 24 months. So, Odubel's a big league ball player, albeit a complimentary, as you, to your point, fourth outfielder kind of thing. So yes, if they could do the double whammy of getting a good defensive center fielder that can lead off, man, win-win for sure. I mean, that would be really, really helpful, on both sides of the ball. Strong up the middle at that point. And then obviously guys getting on base in front of your bigger bopper. So,
yeah, he also, let's just face facts with facts. Okay. With that, you get a guy that can get on base. I don't think we're going to run into an issue with Bryce Harper hitting all those solo home runs again next season. Yeah. Like, we need to get guys on the base pass that are going to create problems for the starting pitcher. And when you're on the base pass, and we saw this with Rollins and Victor Reno, listen, I don't think we're ever going to see a 1-2 at the top of the order like that ever again. I mean, I would love to say that we would, but that's so rare nowadays to have a 1-2 like that.
Probably not. Yeah.
But they created so many, like, for the catcher and for the starting pitcher, it makes you move to the plate faster. It makes you throw more fastballs to your middle of the order hitters. And when Chase Utley and Ryan Howard were getting more fastballs because those guys were on base, they were creating more damage.
Yeah,
and that's what you need to have done for Bryce and whoever's going to be batting in that four hole next year.
Yeah.
And I also too look at it from this perspective, Murph. Now that's going to take some of the pressure off of guys like Rhys Hoskins and JT Realmuto. They can bat 5 and 6. And Alec Bohm, 7, it extends your lineup further if you get that guy to plug in behind Bryce Harper. Because, listen, I know Rhys has done it. I know JT has done it. But ideally, I think Dombrowski looks at their bats are more valuable in that 5, 6, 7 spot as compared to having, one of them in that, and then your lineup is shorter. So Dombrowski isn't a dumb man. The guy knows what he's doing. He's built winners everywhere that he's been. And the one thing, and me and you said this a couple weeks ago on one of our shows, Murph, was if we could have, I think you said that you would want a number 2 starting pitcher to go behind Wheeler, but then you changed and you went to closer. He emphasized closer is a huge deal for next year's team. They have to get that right.
Yeah, and he went one step further saying, and that guy is probably not in our organization or on our roster right now. Again, he doesn't have to say that. That is refreshingly honest because we all know it, right? We all know that that guy's not on your roster. I mean, short of, you know, you trying the Hector Neris experiment again at closer, which I know they don't want to do, but, you know.
Is Hector, Kennedy back next year?
Well, no, he's not under contract.
Okay, I know because Gibson was on for another Kennedy year. Yeah, okay.
I would be surprised if they would bring Ian Kennedy back in a role like that. Look, Ian Kennedy was a great guy in the clubhouse, great guy to deal with. What a terrific person. And, you know, was pretty good in his role. He wasn't outstanding. But for Dombrowski to come out again 2-3 days after the season's over and to be that honest and to put it out there, you know, to say, I know this needs to be fixed. You talk about putting the bullseye right on your back, and not that he cares. He's happy with that. But he's saying, this needs to be fixed, and me and Sam Fulder, the guys that have to fix it, so here we go kind of thing.
Love it.
So many times you see front office people dance around that. Well, we haven't talked about that yet. We haven't made a decision on that guy yet. And we're all, as fans, going, come on. Are you kidding me? You know.
Be honest.
Yeah. Dave Dombrowski did not mince words today. And there were a couple times where he said, I'm not ready to answer that particular question yet. He did say that. In fact, that's what he said about Odubel when he was asked directly about Odubel. And so I respect that even more because he's like, look, this I'll tell you, this I can talk about this, but I don't know the answer to this yet, so I'm not going to speculate. And I think that was really good.
All right, Murph. So why don't we go ahead here and let's talk a little bit about, we have 5 minutes left, a little less than 5 minutes left in this segment. Let's go back to our predictions. let's go back to our predictions at the beginning of the season. All right. Let's have a little bit of fun here and what we're looking at.
All right.
Actually, did I write mine down here? Because I got yours.
How convenient.
I got yours written down. Of course you did. Actually, no, mine are on my phone. That's right. I had mine on my phone, so I kept those all along here. So how convenient on that one.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go ahead and let's take a look back at our predictions. We both took the Braves in the NL East.
All right.
Unfortunately, We both took the Cardinals in the Central. Now, the thing is, the Cardinals made the playoffs. So, to me, that's a point.
Yeah, I think we get a win on that.
Right? Yeah, we get a win on that. We both took the Dodgers to take the NL West. So far, we're 3-for-3. Your dark horse was the Brewers. They wound up winning the NL Central. Fantastic. Right. My dark horse was the Phillies. They were in it till the end. Didn't make the playoffs, but they were there. And then I had the Padres and Nationals as my wild cards, and you had the Phillies and the Padres as your wild cards. So...
So I missed two, you missed three. That's not bad, actually.
No, that's not bad at all.
Hey, I'll take it.
Let's go to the other side.
Oh.
Let's go to the American League.
The man is coming. I don't remember anything that we picked, so.
All right, so we both picked the Yankees to win the East. They made the playoffs.
They made the playoffs for a game.
Yep. We both picked the White Sox in the Central.
Easy.
You had the Angels. I had the A's in the West. We both flopped out on that.
Yeah, we did.
You had the Rays as your American League dark horse, and I had the Red Sox.
Okay.
So both of them made the playoffs. We both went Blue Jays and Twins for our American League wild cards. Yeah, so we missed out on that. We did better in the National League than we did in the American League.
We're Philly guys. We're National League guys.
You should have a point deducted, though, because you said the Red Sox stink.
I did say the Red Sox stink, and I remain, I will die on that hill. They stink.
For the World Series, I had the Dodgers over the Yankees. You had the Yankees over the Padres. You're completely done. You have nothing.
Wow. Left. So wait, I'm sorry. You had the Dodgers over?
I had the Dodgers over the Yankees. We both had the Yankees in the World Series and the Red Sox.
You got a shot still. You got you went chalk, but you got a shot.
The National League MVP, you took Betts. He struggled with injuries this year. I took Juan Soto. Juan Soto is going to wind up probably finishing second.
Second or third for sure. Yep.
Yeah. And then I had Arenado, Betts, and Harper as like my other one. So I might. You know, in there, I had two of the top three for sure. NL Cy Young, I had Jacob DeGrom and Strasburg and Walker Buehler. The thing is DeGrom was the de facto, then he got hurt. The Strasburg never got up and running, but Buehler's probably going to be top five.
Yeah, he'll be in top voting. Five.
Yep. You had Yu Darvish. Mm. That's a flop and a half. Yep. AL MVP, Anthony Rendon for you. And Garrett Cole was your Cy Young.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Not good. Yeah, Cole will be a top five.
He'll be a top five finisher, but all you had to do was watch the first playoff game.
And I had on my side, I had Mike Trout. And then I had, I was saying Matt Chapman, third base for the A's, and reigning MVP Jose Abreu. I mean, Abreu might be top 10.
Yeah. I mean, he was solid, but.
And Lucas Giolito from my American League Cy Young, but he got off to a bad start. He finished strong. And then I had Garrett Cole and Ryu as my backups.
Yeah. We were awful with our individual awards, with the exception of Soto, who is going to probably finish second or third. I'll give you a point on that one. So you get a point, I get zero on the players. That's what I'll say about that.
You know who doesn't get a zero, Murph? Cherry Hill Triplex.
You know that, yeah.
The premier New Jersey Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Kia, Mitsubishi, and Ram dealers serving South Jersey and all of the Delaware Valley. They have a huge selection of new and used vehicles from which to choose. Cherry Hill Triplex online and offline customers enjoy vehicle specials every day. We offer Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Kia, Mitsubishi, and Ram service and parts, an online inventory, and outstanding financing options, making Cherry Hill Triplex the preferred dealer serving the entire Delaware Valley. Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Kia, Mitsubishi, and Ram buyers, get ready and set up a test drive. Visit us in Cherry Hill, New Jersey today. Coming up on our last segment here, the 2021 Major League Baseball season. Not only am I getting sound bites right now from Murph.
I'm nuts for you, Zach. Hell of a read.
But on the other side, we're going to look back on our picks. Murph won, but we're going to go over how much he won by. We got a couple Can You Believe It's to take us out. And then we're going to talk about, we're going to thank everybody. We're going to thank the fans. We're going to thank everybody that took part in this season with Murph and myself to make this a successful show right here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, Bud Light Baseball Brunch. We'll be right back right after this. County Baseball Company is the premier vintage sports clothing and collectibles retail store in the tri-state area. Visit www.buckscountybaseballco.com or stop by their Bristol, PA location. Items from the Phillies, Eagles, Sixers, Flyers, and much, much more. Again, visit www.buckscountybaseballco.com or stop by their Bristol, PA location. The showroom is huge and the website is even bigger. Bucks County Baseball Company, the name in Philly for vintage sports. Welcome back for our final segment here for the 2021 Major League Baseball season here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler with Bud Light Baseball Brunch. I'm Chris Sack of Green Legion Radio alongside Phillies broadcaster Greg Murphy. And listen, Murph, I might have, had a little bit more luck with my preseason predictions. I mean, my World Series winner is still there. I get a point for Soto. I slightly have the edge of preseason predictions on you. Just smidge. Maybe I'll calculate it up. But you did take me to task this year in our weekly pick segment. The final standings after a 3-0 week finale to finish the 2021 Major League Baseball season, Murph takes the crown 43-30-1 as I go 39-35. Congratulations, Murph. Well deserved.
And the crowd just loves it.
About a mid-season turnaround. Yeah. Fantastic job by you. You're wearing the crown right now. Please speak to the people.
So here's what happened. Midway through the season, I was like, why am I trying to pick these games that might be close? I just started going for lopsided contests, and more often than not, we weren't picking against any kind of run spread. We weren't picking against any kind of number. So all we were doing is picking winners. So I got wise, and I just kind of said, all right, low-hanging fruit.
Pick that, against the Rangers.
Right. It became my mantra, and I stormed back. So, I'm not exactly proud of of the way I went about it, but I'll take it. I'll take a win when I can get it.
Here's what I'm thinking for next season.
All right. Yeah. Cause we got to make this better.
Let's do this. All right. This isn't finalized. All right. Okay. We'll have this. Murph and I will have this finalized by the time
the whole production staff, the 30 of us will get together in our conference room and we'll get together. We'll narrow this down over the course of
next. We're going to iron it out. Yeah. So I think points should be rewarded based off of difficulty.
Kind of like diving.
Yes. So, listen, it's cool. Like, if you want to take the Dodgers over the Orioles at -250, okay. Yep. All right. So maybe if it's anywhere -200 and more, you get a point. If you pick anywhere from 199 down or something like that, you get 2 points. Okay. If you pick the dog, you get 3, because that makes somebody desperate towards the end of the season when they're trailing. You're going to have to take an underdog in a situation.
Yeah, almost like a press at golf. Yeah. Okay. I got you. All right.
So, Okay. So, like I said, it's just, it's kind of an idea for right now.
We'll have to send it up to the bosses. You know, they'll have meetings in corporate and find out what they think about all that. But here's what I would also say. I wouldn't mind having to pick one game flat out and then use the point system, and then maybe one game using the plus and minus 1.5 runs, which is a pretty standard thing in the gambling world, and then the other over under. So it's forcing us to be a little bit more astute in terms of our picks.
And not beating up on the Rangers every week.
Yeah, I'm not proud. I took advantage of the rules. You know, free drop is a free drop. I'm taking it. All right. That's what I do. I hit it up against the concession stand, but that's not my problem, right? Who put that there? All right. So free drop and I run with it.
Free drop. All right. Cool. So Murph, why don't we take the time right now? I hope you have a couple of them ready for me. Can you believe it? Wait to be back next season so we can actually listen to that song again, because there's nothing like Major League Baseball on Fox theme song. It gets the blood pumping. Is the game on Fox tonight?
It is on Fox tonight.
Thank God.
No, it's not. It's on TNT tonight.
Son of a biscuit. Okay, all right. Yeah. So, Murph, without further ado, our last two, can you believe it's for the 2021 Major League Baseball season. Two things that we found interesting from this past week in Major League Baseball. What do you got for me?
All right. I don't know if I find this interesting. In fact, I find it revolting. But nonetheless, it's something we should talk about. And you know what? I couldn't help but think of this guy when Dave Dombrowski was talking today. How about this? Adam Duvall is the first National League player to play for multiple teams in a season and have the most RBIs in the league since Heinie Zimmerman back in 1916, and I get to say Heinie. So that's always funny, but 1916 was the last time that a guy led the league in RBIs and played for two teams in the same season.
Wow.
And we know what he did for the Atlanta Braves. He was a huge part of getting them in the postseason.
No doubt about it. Okay, my first one. Trey Turner is the first National League player to lead the league in hits in back-to-back seasons since Terry Pendleton in 1991 and 1992. Anytime you can pull out Terry Pendleton is a good day.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more on that one. That's an interesting stat. I thought you were going to go with my second one because it also involves Trey Turner, who very well might be the runner-up in the MVP. And you know what? He might get votes.
Oh, he's going to get votes. He's top five.
He might get first place votes. I think he's going to give Bryce a run for his money, honestly. But I do think
Bryce. I thought Soto would, but I think Soto, Turner, Harper. Austin Riley. Tatis is going to get some too. Like this top five is going to be very close.
Yeah, I think Tatis will probably finish fifth or fourth or fifth. But anyway, okay.
I agree. So,
Trey Turner is the first player to win a National League batting title while playing for two teams in a season. First guy to do it since Willie McGee back in 1990. Willie McGee,
that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cardinals and... Was it the Reds? Yeah. I meant to look that up and I forgot. Okay. But yeah. So anyway, Willie McGee. Last guy to do it. Trey Turner did this year.
That's a great name. Jason Stark tweeted this one out in regards to the season that Ranger Suarez had. 1.36 ERA, 106 innings pitched, 12 starts, 27 relief appearances. Pitchers in the live ball era with 100-plus innings pitched, 12-plus starts, and that low of an ERA. Bob Gibson, 1968, with a 1.12. Red Munger, 1944, 1.34. And Ranger Suarez in 2021, 1.36. Wow. I think he earned himself a spot in our rotation for next season.
I think he earned a spot. He was talked about as a star player in the league by the president of baseball operations today. Dave Dombrowski, what a year it was for Ranger Suarez. Finished the season with 15 1/3 scoreless innings out of the bullpen, longest streak for a Phillies pitcher this year, and 20 1/3 innings as a starter, longest streak for a Phillies starter this year. So he led in the bullpen, and he led as a starter. He also had, a handful of saves. Outstanding season by Ranger Suarez. Exciting, And Bryce Harper said it. Maybe he's the comeback player of the year. The Phillies might have the MVP, the runner-up for the Cy Young, and the comeback player of the year. And they didn't make the postseason. But still, it's something to build on anyway.
Absolutely.
And that's pretty darn good. So, he missed all last season for COVID. Bryce Harper out there campaigning for him. And I can't think of anybody that would be a better person in the National League for comeback player of the year. So maybe he does. Maybe he wins it.
Well, Murph, closing thoughts here on the 2021 season and our show. First and foremost, a lot of people ask me, what's it like to work with Murph? And I tell them all the time that at the beginning of the season, how nitpicky I was about how ins and outs and ebbs and flows of the show. I was like, there were so many times that Murph could have turned to me and said, shut the bleep up. Because you've been in the business for 20, 25 years, and you have been nothing but fantastic with me this whole entire season. And I really appreciate your professionalism and everything that you've done for me as far as helping me grow in this role as being a host here on Bud Light Baseball Brunch. And call me a diva if you'd like. Thank you, Sam. But I want to take the time at the end of the show to express my gratitude for you this season, and the sky is the limit for the show. And I really look forward to next season. I hope that we can hook up during the off season and, do some more work together. It would be a lot of fun for me.
Well, let me just say this quickly, Zach. We didn't really meet until right before we started this show. And I thought, chemistry is a interesting thing in our business, and to develop chemistry with someone takes a little bit of time. We had it almost right out of the gate. And I think that that's so important. At least I like to think we did.
No doubt.
For the listeners to decide, but I felt it, and you did an excellent job. And what people don't know is how hard you work to make this show the way it is. You and Slash and Sam, the work that you guys do behind the scenes. I mean, honestly, I come in and I do my thing, but you guys are the backbone of making this thing work. And I couldn't be more thankful to have spent the season with you guys. It was a blast, and I look forward to it again next year as well.
Sounds great. And hey, listen, thanks to Sean Brace, the program director, 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, Quimby, for footing the bill for the show. All of our sponsors, Slash, Super Sam Brady, John Jansen, Timmy O'Keefe, that were producing our shows, Jigsaw throughout the course of the season. Thank you all. And to our fans and everybody listening to the show throughout the season, thank you all for a great, wonderful 2021 baseball season. We look forward to hearing from you again in 2022 as things tend to get closer and more back to normal, hopefully next year. But like a 3-1 pitch to Ryan Howard, we are out of here, baby. Have a great rest of your evening, and go Phillies in the off season. Have a great one, everyone.